The Spartan Mind Strength Podcast, the podcast for mental grit and resilience. Hosted by V. Binga and Tim Ganley.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
We are not in a yoga class.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. So we are in a podcast, not a yoga class. So tell me, what is the podcast of the day?
It's about the sun being in the first decan of Gemini. The sun being in the sign of Gemini between 0 and 10 degrees, which corresponds to May 21st to May 31st for 2025.
Excellent. And we just finished the loser or something?
We finished the third decan of Taurus.
And that was ended yesterday or ended today. What would that you consider that?
It would be yesterday, actually. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And so that decan is done and we're starting the new decan.
Yes.
So shall we talk about it after the intro?
Yes, right when we come back. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Welcome to the Deacon World.
To the Deacon World.
The Deacon World.
So, I like that.
Welcome to the Deacon World. Hey, you're a big deacon. So, tell me about the deacon of the day.
So
that's almost a tongue twister.
So, the card that corresponds to the sun in the first 10 degrees of Gemini, according to the Thoth Tarot deck, as interpreted by Aleister Crowley, is Eight of Swords.
Yes, it's actually a very cool card.
It is a very cool card.
It actually reminds, well, it's got two, like, fencing swords, swords going straight up and down.
Yeah.
And in between them is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 other swords.
Yes.
Like a kukara, it looks almost like a Spartan dagger. A Arabian Knight sword. You know, from the Arabian Nights, a machete.
Yeah.
So there's several different types of swords in here, and one that just looks vicious. It's got spikes on it, and there's six of them, and it almost looks like an old gun rack. It reminds me of being in the back of my pickup truck when I was growing up in the South. My dad had a gun rack in the back of the truck, and when I went to school, there was guns in the back of the truck on the gun rack. Three or four of them. And that's what this looks like. It almost looks like a gun rack.
Yeah.
Holding these swords with a lot of, in the coloring around it. Now, the knives have a gold and yellow, and the blades are gray and stuff. But the background is a lot of pinkish purple, maybe even orangish red. Just really cool colors.
Yeah, a lot of cool colors.
A lot of designs, a lot of sharp designs.
Yeah.
And it almost looks like three mountains at the bottom. Hey, there's Mount Yona. There's Pink Mountain. I don't know what the other one is. But hey, I can see me waving on it. So it's a very interesting card.
And,
do tell. What does it mean?
The name of it is Interference.
Yeah, buddy.
I absolutely love this card. Interference, and
is that why it's been under your pillow at night?
And it is associated with the energy of Jupiter in Gemini.
Okay.
So it doesn't mean Jupiter is in Gemini right now. It means that the energy for these 10 days is associated with the energy of Jupiter in Gemini. And it's called Interference. Okay. The swords in the Thoth Tarot deck are all about the air element. They are all about the mind. They are all about the intellect. And they have nothing to do with emotions, material stuff.
And swords are all about the mind, right? The whole series of...
Yes.
Yeah, ace through...
Yeah, through the ten.
Okay.
Anything of swords is about the mind.
And I like how that sets up, because I, you know, learning tarot cards, it was always sort of confusing. But once I started realizing that swords are mind, it made it a lot easier to understand the card.
Exactly. Cups are emotions. So discs are a material world. You know,
I like discs.
Wands are fire. So we started with the fire during Aries, then we moved to the discs during Taurus, and now we are in the swords during Gemini, all about the air and the mind. So,
because a knife cuts swift.
Exactly. And the air moves very fast.
And if you listen, you can hear the sword making noise through the air.
On the back of your dad's pickup truck. So Jupiter in Gemini. So Jupiter is about expansion, right? Mm-hmm. So.
And what did Crowley want to teach with this?
So what Crowley wanted to teach with that is that you really have to pick and choose what you allow in your mind. You want to eliminate interference. You want to know what you are trying to achieve, what is your ultimate true will, and you want to focus at that, and you want to eliminate all the little unimportant crap.
So right,
and we are done.
Yep. So right now is literally the best time to get rid of all the things that are bothering you.
Exactly.
So like I left one of the groups because it was just draining me.
Yes.
So right now, so I didn't even know that I was doing it at the right time, but that's basically why I left.
Yes. Yeah. It is fascinating, actually, that you did that. And it's
like, here we are.
Yeah, exactly. So Crowley says there is an ultimate true will that every one of us has. And he calls that, he uses a Greek word, thelema.
That's a Greek word.
And I actually...
If I can't pronounce it, it's got to be Greek.
And he says, what is that? Then everything in your mind should be focused at that. Because interference is going to come no matter what. Interference can come because of you. Interference can come because of your surroundings,
but
because of your community.
But interference has to come because you're human.
Exactly. And no matter, and even though I said, well, interference can be because of you or because of your community, still everything is on you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you are allowing that, or because you are part of that community, like that crap that was draining you. So all of that, it's still on us. So back to Jupiter in Gemini. So Jupiter is, when you look at Jupiter astrologically, is the planet that represents how we connect to the society. Crowley was a brilliant person, no matter what anyone says.
They said a lot of things.
I know. So Jupiter is about how we integrate into our community, into our society. And Gemini is all about the mind and communication and ideas and thoughts and exchange of thoughts and books and information. That's what Gemini is. So Jupiter in Gemini is about us figuring out, how are we going to integrate in our community? How can we connect with others? Because Jupiter is about expansion. But it is also, since Jupiter is about expansion and Gemini is about our thoughts and ideas and information, how can we expand our own way of thinking?
Mm.
So it is about us bringing more value, connecting more with our community, but it is also about us at the same time expanding our own way of thinking by connecting with others through also talking with others, exchanging ideas. So it's not about us imposing our crap, whatever we think is right and should be done, our way or the highway. It's not about us bringing our mental baggage to our community. It's about us learning also from others.
So in order to get rid of your mental baggage, you got to learn other things so that you don't have mental baggage.
It's, yeah.
Could it be?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And that's why you got a sword, so you can cut your mental baggage.
Cut through the crap. And so this card has that the Jupiter. Yeah, the Jupiter symbol at the top, Gemini at the bottom.
Yes, yes.
And then has those two swords, vertical swords, and then it has the little six swords that are perpendicular, right?
Yeah.
And there is also another way to look at this. I actually, as I was looking into this, along with its supportive cards, it reminded me of the Vedic concept mm-hmm. of the two channels.
Nadi and Padi, or something like
Ida,
that.
Ida,
Nadi and Padi.
Ida and Pingala, the two nadis, actually, two channels, nadis, Ida and Pingala, the left channel, Ida, the right channel, Pingala, and then the six swords, the little annoying guys that are in the middle, are like our six chakras.
And it's chakras, a wheel, and actually there's a weapon that's called a chakra that's a, almost like a sword. But it's a round sword that is really nasty.
Yes, yes. So you can look at it as we have the two main energy channels, the Ida and the Pingala, in our body. But the and where those channels, and as those channels are moving energetically from the bottom of our spine towards the top of our head, where they intersect are the six chakras,
uh-huh.
all the way from the root chakra to the third eye.
And the first sword that's there,
yeah.
which is your grounding,
yep,
which is
the
root chakra,
yeah.
this one is smiling because it's got a big curve to it, uh-huh. so it's a happy chakra.
It is. Once you get your root chakra happy, then,
uh-huh. but
then
the,
life
the
is
third eye
easy.
Chakra, wow, that one is a nasty
that's
one. That one
yes.
looks painful.
So, and in the Vedic...
But everybody wants to do the third eye instead
third
of the
third eye and
first.
The crown chakra, yes.
Yep.
That's a serious issue
mm-hmm.
in this yogic world. So, the chakras are actually supposed to hold a lot of our tendencies from this life, past lives, whichever way you want to think of it, but a lot of baggage, our dirty laundry, I like to say.
Mm-hmm.
The chakras are where a lot of those issues are being held and traps the smooth flow of energy through the Ida and the Pingala channels. So that's a great way to look at this card. The chakras, a lot of our issues in the chakras interfere with the proper flow of energy.
Excellent.
Which, of course, affects our thinking and everything.
So the supporting card, the first one, sort of fits with those being the six chakras.
Yes.
I would say this could also be the seventh chakra, the lovers.
The lovers.
Because it's got a lot of great things going on.
A lot of great things. It is the sixth major arcana, six of the trumps, and it has a lot of beautiful, heartwarming colors.
Yep,
right?
It's just got a lot of basically pairs. Even you know, it's got a
yes.
lion and a
eagle.
Eagle. Mm-hmm. It's got looks like two little boys.
Mm-hmm.
One. Is holding maybe flowers. The other
mm-hmm.
one's holding a sword.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a cup. The one that's holding flowers has a cup in his hand,
mm-hmm.
in the other hand. And the one holding the sword has a staff. They don't look happy, but they don't look sad. They look intense. Because
uh-huh.
you can't really see the face.
Yeah.
But the body language looks like they're oomph.
Exactly,
and,
yeah.
And then there's a... at below or next to the staff that
mm-hmm.
the one is holding is an egg with a serpent or
yes.
a snake wrapped
uh-huh.
around it. So that is what that's the sign of
that,
birth.
Exactly, creation.
Creation, yes.
Yep.
And then there is, not sure, it could be a king, it might be a queen, I don't know, but definitely a queen on one and a king, I think a king on the other.
Yep.
And they're holding, one is holding something. Oh, one of the kings is also holding the cup that the little boy is holding. So the
like
king,
the Holy Grail, or
it could be like a Holy Grail. However, if you watch the movie, the Holy Grail is not a gold cup; it is a poor man's cup.
Mm.
Yes, from what was it? The Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, Raiders of the. I was going to say Monty Python.
Yeah. Oh no, there's a rabbit. So and then they both have crowns, and then they're standing in front of a. Looks like a almost like a magician or what would it be?
Supposed to be Mercury. Supposed to be God Mercury, who's in charge actually of Gemini.
And he's got two mudras going, one in each hand. Looks like he's almost a surfer.
That's what exactly. That's up? Yeah. That's what I saw when
he's,
I saw
he's
that.
He's got that surfer language-ness to him. And then there is above him is. Oh, what are they called? The little cupids.
Yes.
With a bow.
Yeah.
And getting ready to shoot an arrow at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is two naked people, one on each side of the card. So, and then a lot of color. And you can see almost that it looks like there's bent swords.
Yes.
In the background.
The arch of the swords.
Yep.
Yes.
And then colors are red, orange, gold, little bit of silver, pink. Purplish.
Purple, yep.
Very cool looking card.
Yeah, and at the bottom of the card is the symbol of Gemini.
Okay.
Because it corresponds to Gemini ruled by Mercury, actually, which is in the background of this. So the shadow, the closed, say, figure of Mercury that Aleister Crowley put there is to symbolize that the secret of this existence is actually, it's way beyond the obvious manifestation and way beyond the intellect. You have to go deeper in order to actually find the meaning of life. You know, if you, it's not as obvious. That's why you don't really have to worry about using your brain for everything, especially for the stuff that doesn't matter as much. You have to go beyond that. So the lovers in the typical tarot decks was all about romance and this and that, whereas the way he put it, and makes so much more sense, is about actually being able to find the balance between opposites. Being able to communicate. And actually, if you look at the main king and queen, their hand is holding something. The queen's hand is holding a cup. Right, and the king is
holding a
scepter. Yeah, but
the king is holding the cup, and the queen is holding like a shell in her hand. So the king, if you look to see how he's got his hand down, he's holding
I was looking
at
that as
the and the queen is. I would say that's a queen, and she's holding a shell or something in her hand.
Okay, I was looking at them backwards.
They identify the other way.
But the other...
How dare you call that one a...
But the other set of hands, they are holding their the other hands, right?
Yes.
Their opposite hands are...
Possibly,
holding.
I don't see them.
So, I do.
Okay,
but that's okay. It's all about being able to communicate with each other. Being able to actually...
Something we're not doing very well at, huh?
I know. I know. It's actually like almost like Murphy's Law or irony. But the lover's card is about finding a common ground through communication.
Now, and that's what we've been doing a lot also. Isn't
that
weird how we've been getting calls like crazy the last day and a half?
Exactly. And it is also If you look at the cubit,
all the way to the top with the arrow.
And there is an inscription there, which is the Greek word thelema, which you wouldn't be able to read. No. So you have to take my word
for
this.
That I'll take your word for.
So, which means will. And it is really interesting that the cupid of love, whatever, that shoots the arrow, and, you know, people fall in love and whatever.
Cupid is a Greek word, too.
Or the eros in Greek, in the Greek, ancient Greek mythology would be eros. It's interesting that it has that will written there, because what you always have to keep in mind, your ultimate true will, and align your passions with it. So you don't want to randomly throw yourself into something that doesn't align with your ultimate destiny.
Yeah, because you have free will, but...
Exactly.
You want that free will to go
exactly.
in the right direction.
That's the idea. And if you look at this lover's card with that duality, the king and queen, the two boys, the two naked people, the swords, if you look at it like that, is actually trying to bring the balance, the dynamic balance between the two energetic channels of the body, Ida and Pingala, because Ida in our body energetically is associated with the left.
Mm-hmm.
It's the left associated with the lunar energy, and the Pingala is associated with the solar energy, and the lunar energy is considered the female aspect of our body, and the solar energy is considered the male aspect of our body. So when we talk about male and female energetically, it's in all of us, no matter what.
Very cool. We just paused for a second. Oh, and it's still going.
Yeah.
Groundhog just walked by.
Marilyn. I had named that groundhog Marilyn.
Yep. So we got a little blonde groundhog just walked by us as we're talking.
That is so cool.
Yep.
Looks like the little cupid.
Yes, he does.
On the card.
I hope he doesn't shoot me with something.
I know.
So the other card is the Ace of Swords.
Yes.
And the Ace of Swords is a bluish, almost clouds, or you could even say water. I'm not really sure if it's oceanish.
Clouds.
Yep.
It's all air.
Okay, and it's got one sword, and it's a pretty badass sword.
Uh-huh.
Greenish, and it has Greek words on it. And there's a gold or yellow, almost like the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a crown in it, mm-hmm. which could also be the crown chakra.
Yes, so, exactly.
So do tell what the Ace of Swords does for this group as being a supportive card.
So the Ace of Swords is green, which is the green is always on this deck associated with growth.
Okay.
Growth, fresh energy. And the sword, it's like a bottom up, right? It shoots from the bottom up towards the crown.
Mm-hmm.
And it has 22 rays there, which is, you can count them if you don't.
I'll take your word.
I did count them. It has 22 rays because these 22 rays correspond to the 22 major arcana cards in the Thoth deck, which all of them together comprise unlimited possibilities.
Oh, very cool.
So basically, Ace of Swords contains all the possibilities of the air element.
Okay.
Right? When we did the Aries, the three deacons of Aries, mm-hmm. and the three deacons of Taurus, one of the supportive cards was always Ace of Wands and then Ace of Discs.
Yes.
The Ace of the suit contains all the possibilities of that corresponding element.
So the Ace of Swords has anger, freedom, happiness,
all the mental
that your brain can
exactly bring. All the mental tendencies and all the possibilities that our mind can create, can produce, unlimited possibilities.
Very nice.
Those unlimited possibilities are represented by the 22 major arcana cards.
Okay.
So now when you look at it, if you think about the Ida and Pingala channels and the chakras, uh-huh. right?
Yes.
In the Vedic tradition, you have what is called the Sushumna, which is the central channel, energy channel that runs along our spine.
Uh-huh.
And that energy channel is where the Kundalini energy, let's call it the Kundalini energy. I like to call it Kundalini, is gonna rise, if it ever rises, or whatever. You know, that's where a lot of that energy is gonna go through. That's why you want to be very careful what the chakras hold, right? Because when that energy kicks in, when that energy rises, it brings
everything.
Everything. It brings unlimited possibilities, and they are going to carry the energy of the crap that's being stored in the chakras.
But it also can clean.
But
that
it
crap.
Can also bring a lot of greatness if you have worked on cleaning that, on cleaning those tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at the Ace of Swords, that's like the Kundalini energy rising.
Well, it does look like it is. It's strength. It looks
yes.
like it's the power of this card.
Exactly.
There's a lot of power in this card.
Exactly. And but the good thing is what is saving the world is that the Kundalini energy, actually, in order for the Kundalini energy to rise, the Ida and Pingala channels have to be operating in harmony. And
so that's why this is partnered with them, because
exactly.
you can't have it alone.
You can't have it alone, exactly. So the idea is that you understand what creates interference in your mind. You understand what your limiting mental habits are. And then you try to work with them,
mm-hmm.
you through communication, actually, and then that Kundalini, that ultimate energy,
mm-hmm.
I don't like to call it Kundalini
yeah.
because that limits it,
mm-hmm.
that ultimate energy is gonna rise and you will be able to see reality.
So,
because that sword is actually cutting through
Everything.
So
if I understand this correctly, these next 10 days
mm-hmm.
are all about cutting out or getting rid of the interference that's going to be coming at us
exactly.
so that we can focus on the things we need to by talking to people
exactly.
and talking to your dog even or
yeah.
whatever and maybe meditating.
Yes.
And with that, you're going to find what you need to be doing the rest of the year.
Exactly.
So these 10 days are actually a very important 10 days for us to be able to really focus on whatever it is
yes.
as a human we need.
Yes.
But
mm-hmm.
this is a really good time to do that. So it's a really good time to be meditating a
yes.
lot.
Yep. And to add to this, that a sword has a Greek inscription on it,
mm-hmm.
right? That,
yep.
And that's the exact same word, thelema, that is on the quiver, what is called, of the cubit.
Yes. Yep.
The exact same word, thelema, which means will.
Okay.
So whatever you are trying to achieve mentally,
we have to use our will.
We have to use our honest to God, true will.
Okay. So this is, and when I said meditate a lot, but we also have to talk to people a lot.
Exactly.
So we have to talk to people and then meditate on what we talked about. And then talk to more people and meditate and then talk. So it's a good time for meditation, but not just meditation.
Not just meditation. It's not the time when you want to go hide. It is the time when you want to communicate and to say, to be more precise, when you want to also listen.
So it's a good time to go and talk to everybody in yoga tonight.
Yes, but also listen. And know that a lot of the interference that may be bugging you down, oh, they said this, why are they doing this, or why this, a lot of that can be solved through communication. And as the Lover's card shows it, which is with empathy.
Okay. And the interference is all our swords.
And
so it's actually not them, even though they say it, and we can say why they say that.
Yeah.
It's actually, why are we taking it the way instead of taking it internal?
Exactly. Yep.
So, makes sense. Let's go to break and come back and talk about our rocks, our poses, our mudras, our mantras. Oh, no mudras, just mantras, unless you want to do the surfer hand thing. And
stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you like what you hear? The Spartan Mind Strength podcast is available on Apple Podcasts and all other popular podcast destinations. Please subscribe today and consider leaving us a rating and review. It helps us spread the word and help others find our content. Don't forget to leave a comment and any questions you may have. Tim and V would love to hear from you.
And we're back.
Yes.
So we're going to be talking about things that we can do for the next 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, I would like to say that this podcast is brought to you by Ariel Mountain Springs. It is a wedding venue, also
an event venue
in
Clarksville, Georgia.
Yep. A great place
to
sit and meditate or just sit and talk to people. And if you're getting married, this is the time
to
do your negotiations, to talk to people.
Speaking of the Lover's card,
uh-huh.
Right? It's a beautiful, beautiful place.
And so if you are interested in doing something and you want to come to Northeast Georgia, Ariel Mountain Springs, contact Brittany.
Yes, and we'll have all the information in the notes.
Very nice. So now, what crystals shall we talk about?
What crystals? Okay. Amazonite.
Mm.
Amazonite is a gorgeous, gorgeous...
Not my favorite stone.
Bluish green.
Yep, not my favorite stone. It's a great stone, but it's not my favorite. Unlike the next stone that you're going to say, fluorite.
Fluorite, yes.
Fluorite is one of my favorite stones.
Yes. And fluorite comes in all different colors.
Mm-hmm. We got some green, we got some tannish, we got some brown, we got some yellow. Fluorite is a beautiful, and you don't brush your teeth with it. Because when I was littler, I thought it was the same stone.
Yeah.
I wanted to put it in my teeth and
use fluorite. So fluorite also, because it has a crystal structure,
mm-hmm.
like it has cubic structure,
yep.
which reminds you of order,
mm-hmm.
mental order, but also comes in all different colors, which is not very, very common for stones to come in all different colors, which also reminds you of mental flexibility.
Yes, and it can be found pretty much everywhere in the world.
Which means we need it a lot.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. But amazonite, go ahead. I cut out that one off because it's not my favorite.
Well,
go ahead.
Amazonite has very soothing, calming, energetic colors. That are bluish, greenish. And it always reminds me of listening. I always associate it with the throat chakra as soon as I see it, and reminds me of listening.
No, I like it more as a, because I usually like rough stones, but amazonite I like more as a polished.
I don't find
the rough amazonite to be something that I tend to say, oh, that's a cool stone. But as a polished stone, I really enjoy that stone.
Yes. Yeah. I like it rough too. Because I prefer
how you doing?
I prefer rough stones. That came out completely wrong.
So, and what's the next stone?
Speaking of listening and talking less, right? The next stone is the Melody Stone, or Super Seven, or Sacred Seven.
That stone is getting harder to find.
Yes.
In with that has the purple.
Yes. Because
right now the only ones that I've been able to find
is brownish
yes. and dark colors.
Yes.
But to get one that has all the colors,
yeah.
like we have the one big piece.
Yes.
It's just freaking awesome stone. It's an awesome stone. Now we do have some little pieces that are really good purple, but it's hard to find a Super Seven that has all seven.
Exactly.
Nowadays.
Exactly. It's amazing it's also very interesting, all the different minerals that are in it. Do you want a list?
Yes, I do. Do tell.
It's a blend of amethyst, clear quartz, smoky quartz, chalcoxenite, rutile, goethite, and lepidocrosite.
Very nice.
Yeah,
and if you get the stone that has all of them in that you can see, it's a great stone. And the one that we have that has all of them is a nice, very nice polished piece.
Yeah.
So it is a very cool stone. And it'll be on our Instagram page.
Yeah, and it's supposed to actually help balance all the chakras. Mm. And it's similar to the...
Kyanite,
yes.
Yep.
Even though it doesn't look like kyanite at all. But it has a similar property. And
you want to save a lot of money on chakra cleansing? Just buy some kyanite.
Exactly. Or a melody stone.
But kyanite's a lot cheaper.
A lot cheaper, yes. Because it's older.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have the cool Super 7 or Sacred 7.
Doesn't have all the fancy words
right?
to it. Yep.
And then you have clear quartz.
Yep.
Which is
a great stone.
Always.
Yep.
Always. Mental clarity.
Yep.
Versatility.
Those you can get almost anywhere. Because we all need it.
Exactly. Always remember that the stones and or crystals that we need the most are abundantly available to us.
You don't have to spend money on the real expensive stone.
Never.
Like, what's the one? Moldavite.
Moldavite, yes.
Yep. You know, we got some great pieces, but everybody's looking to buy that and spend a fortune when, in reality, you could probably get the same benefits from a piece of clear quartz.
Exactly,
yep.
Exactly. Always, always keep it simple and always know that we are taken care of. Mother Earth and God take care of us.
Yes. Okay, so that's the crystals.
That's the crystals.
Do tell, yoga poses?
Yoga poses, one-legged balancing, one-legged standing balancing poses, such as Shiva, tree, head to knee.
Yep. Standing bow.
Standing bow.
If you're doing Bikram.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. One-legged balancing poses, because these 10 days also... the next 20 days. So, but these 10 days are very much governed by the air element, which can create a lot of instability. We call it Vata derangement in the Ayurvedic world. The simplest way to ground physically through physical movement is one-legged balancing poses. And you want to do each leg independently, because you want that balance between Ida and Pingala.
Would just doing squats also would work?
That would work too. And if you do not,
so
if somebody
can't
not
do balancing poses,
exactly,
squats can
squats
work.
Will work.
Yep.
And also, balancing pose against the wall,
barely
lifting the foot off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That will work, just barely. You can.
Are you going to teach a lot of those tonight?
Actually, yes, yes. You can even tap the floor with the raised foot every now and then.
Yep.
Just that alone will work.
Yep. We used to have handles on the walls in some places for people that had real issues with doing balance.
Yes.
They could hold a handle, one of the handles.
Yeah. And you will be amazing.
You will be amazed.
You will be amazed. Yes. You will be amazed at the mental benefits that this physical exercise will have.
Excellent. So now that you can't speak anymore, do tell, what is the mantra?
The mantra is...
Can you say it?
Yes. The mantra is Ganesha. Ganesha to remove all the obstacles.
Om Gam Ganapanaye Namaha.
Om Gam Ganapadaye Namaha.
Very nice.
In the Vedic tradition, Ganesha is supposed to remove all the obstacles. So now is the time to ask Ganesha for help to remove all the mental obstacles. Get rid of all the interference, like not being able to speak.
Uh-huh. Now, I know when we were doing a lot of stand-up paddling in St. Pete, when you chant that, dolphins would always appear.
Yes, and actually, as I was going through memories on Facebook, I found one of the memories. One of our graduates had said, hey, V, the Om Gam Ganapadaye Namaha will work for turtles also.
So we won't try that when we're doing it in with the snapping turtles.
No, not at Ariel Mountain Springs, no. So it is Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. And I'll have the spelling in the notes.
Cool.
Or you can just say, hey, Ganesha, hey, dude, could you please remove some of the obstacles, some of my mental blockages?
So I can speak.
So I can speak. You can just say that.
Yep.
Ganesha doesn't care if it is not in Sanskrit.
Yes. So anything else before you give your tackiness?
Yes. Alternate nostril breathing.
Oh.
Alternate nostril breathing, the ultimate purpose physiologically of alternate nostril breathing is to balance the left and right brain hemispheres in our body. And those actually balance the Ida and Pingala channels. Something that is not mentioned hardly at all is that the left side of our body is governed by the right brain hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
And the right side of our body is governed by the left brain hemisphere. So when you do the alternate nostril breathing and you balance the two brain hemispheres, you are actually balancing the two sides of your body, the left and right. And that reflects into our energetic channels. And that helps us become a lot more creative mentally.
Because it also grounds you.
Exactly.
So you can become creative.
Exactly.
Because you get rid of all the interference.
Exactly. Because, and they've actually showed that we are the most productive mentally when we breathe about equally through the two nostrils.
Mm-hmm.
Left nostril and right nostril. Left nostril corresponds to the right brain hemisphere. Right nostril corresponds to the left brain hemisphere. So when we breathe at about the same amount through both nostrils, our two brain hemispheres operate at about the same capacity, which is allowing the Ace of Swords energy to shoot through. Now the key is, and I know I may be repeating myself, but the key is, you are not, the goal shouldn't be for a human being to actually get more energy, more Ace of Swords through them, more mental ability. The key should be to create that energy, to have that energy in alignment with their true will. We are not talking about increasing our mental power just randomly. We are talking about increasing our mental power in alignment with our true will, with God's will. Because when we are not doing it in alignment with God's will, bad things happen to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what Aleister Crowley was trying to bring through his interpretation of the Thoth Tarot deck, is always know why you are doing what you are doing. Is it in alignment with your true will?
Very cool.
And it should only be in alignment with God.
Okay. Talk to me.
Otherwise.
Talk to me.
Until next time, may your mind be both expansive and focused.
That was boring.
I know. It was very boring.
Okay. Say night-night.
Namaste kala. May we all be well, adapt, and thrive. Much, much love from both of us.
If you found today's show helpful, please give us a rating, a review, or both, and subscribe to the podcast and never miss an episode. As always, Namaste Kala, which in Greek means, may we all be well. This program, copyright True Fitness Incorporated, all rights reserved.